Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Here's the headline, Brandon. Shut up and drive. Nothing could match the exhilaration of roaring away from school with a girl riding shotgun. So why don't today's teens want to drive? From the great Rob Henderson and your new favorite website, The Free Press.
Oh, I love this dude, and I love this. I love The Free Press. I really do. I recommend people get it. It's Barry Weiss's little thing she does.
Oh,
ex-New York Times reporter. I'm a big fan. I think she's great. I think what she's doing is great. I love this guy. This was the guy that was in foster care, clearly got his act together, I think he's now at Oxford getting his PhD. Yeah. And he was like running the tough streets of LA, really fascinating story. And he's also a really, really good writer. He wrote this piece and it just struck me about the fact that kids these days don't drive.
Thank you for that.
He's in the middle.
How we do the show?
Yeah, no, I did forget a second there. I've got a lot on my mind. He's definitely more to the right than to the left. That's my take on him.
Okay, let me give you a little quote. Brandon was going to get into it. He forgot how we did the show. Here's from the great Rob. Nothing could match the exhilaration of roaring away from school during lunch period with the girl riding shotgun on her way to Del Taco. That was less than two decades ago when more than 80% of American 18-year-olds were licensed to drive. Now that number has plummeted to just 60%. That means about 1.5 million newly minted adults have no idea what it feels like to get behind the wheel. Why is that? Part of it's laziness. Ride-sharing apps like Lyft and Uber give kids an easy way to skip driving. It's also possible today's teens are put off by the cost of getting a car. One more quick little bit. In the past, the car represented the ultimate escape, a portal to existing opportunities, risk-taking, and adventure. So this is very applicable to me because my daughter is 15 and a half, and she will be taking her driving permit test in the next few weeks.
So is she going to drive your car?
Yes.
Okay, in the city even?
Yes.
Wow. Because a lot of city kids do not learn to drive, and that makes sense to me. There's buses, there's mass transit, but the fact that kids in suburbia or in the country don't learn to drive is shocking to me. The second I turned 16, the day I turned 16, I went down and got my driver's license.
For sure.
Because it was like, for me, it was, I lived out on a ranch, so it was like getting into town was a big deal. So being able to drive myself there, that was absolute freedom. It was amazing. It was like the most grown-up thing I could ever imagine doing. So everyone I knew wanted their driver's license.
Okay, so that's the, like, I'm the exact same way. And it represented the escape, portal to existing opportunities, blah, 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 risk-taking, blah, blah, blah. Why do kids not want to do this? Is it because they just stay in their room on the internet and they don't need to go anywhere?
He talks about a lot of this stuff. I mean, we could talk, the simple economics of it is that cars are expensive, right?
Well, they were when we were around too.
Yeah, I guess I didn't own my own car until I went to college, but it was like I would borrow my parents' car.
That's what I did.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it, that gas and, that stuff is more expensive maybe now than it was then. I don't know. I think that's only a little part of it. I think the other thing that I found really interesting is like kids these days don't work. I mean, now I could just see people getting on here, but I mean, my nephew, whom I love, he's had a couple of jobs, but his parents are like, his job is school, his job is sports. Mm. They give him money. And I'm like, do you ever say that? Like, hey, B's job is sports, her job is school. We're going to, we don't want her going to work at Baskin and Robbins.
No, she's got a job. She babysits. And she has I'm
in a job where she's pulling a W-2. I mean, has she got that yet?
Well, my middle son is a soccer referee.
Yeah, well, he's also going to be your entrepreneur and is going to run the world.
Point is, like, I think saying those aren't jobs isn't right. So
no, you know what I mean, though. I mean, going down where you have to be somewhere every Tuesday at 5 o'clock every week, that's a big commitment in terms of time. And so I think that you asked me why kids weren't driving. I think that's a little bit of it, the economics and getting a job and not having a job. But what Rob Henderson says is that ultimately kids don't leave their homes anymore. Their world is the metaverse. It's the internet. It's not going out and seeing their friends. He talks about going to the mall. He's probably 20 years younger than both of us, but he definitely hit on some things that were you know, very apropos to me personally of like, you go to the mall in Santa Rosa, it was called the New Mall. It's been there for like 50 years now, but we still call it the New Mall because there was an older mall. But anyway, you, when you wanted to meet someone, you wanted to meet a young lady, you would go to the mall and you just walk around. Yeah, you go to Orange Julius. And, and what, basically what he's saying is that kids aren't doing that. I love what he, that he referenced Del Taco, which any Southern Californian, that is like, for those of you listening that are not from SoCal, there are some in Northern California, but it's really a SoCal thing. That was like the main, that was the place that kids went, was Del Taco.
So in general, you're saying kids don't want to meet other kids anymore, so they don't need to go anywhere, so they don't need to drive.
Well, he references some pretty heavy-duty ideas and concepts in this article about, specifically he talks about how this is really more towards boys than girls in terms of, you know, that they're this generation of Gen Zers are like, hey, pornography is a perfectly acceptable form of sexuality. Like, whereas he said their dad's generation were like, no, it, having a Playboy isn't the same thing as having sex. They're looking at pornography as the same thing as having sex. So ultimately, that's a one-on-one, you know, thing there, right? So they're not going out and they're not, there's not a driving force for them to go out and meet people to have an intimate relationship. Their intimate relationships are on the internet, and that's not real. So he's saying that a car gave us freedom, but if you don't need freedom anymore because your entire world is in the metaverse, then you don't need a car. I think it's what it comes down to for Rob Henderson is saying that the reason they, I mean, there's other factors, obviously, mass transit, Uber, those things, yeah, certainly make a difference. But even with Uber and mass transit, you're still getting out of the house. He's saying that kids are not even getting out of the house. They're basically living in their basements and they're living their lives on Snapchat and other things. And you see that when you see kids of this generation, whether you'll see five or six kids sitting together at a table and they're all on their phones, every single one of them. They're with other friends, but they're not engaging with them at all. And I'm not saying that they're not doing, I think there's a little bit of a red herring. Oh, these kids are always on their phone. Well, they're engaging with each other. They're on apps or they're playing games or on Snapchat. But that is, I think that is a big factor in this.
Yeah, I don't know where to go about the driving thing, but I had to go to a church meeting. We're hiring a new pastor. So it was the first time like the 10 of us are meeting. And I had to, it was the first time, I don't go to a lot of meetings, but I went to like maybe 75% of this was like young 30-year-olds, 28-year-olds.
Oh.
And in a meeting with the pastor speaking, they were on their phone. And it was just a very new foreign, like when the pastor speaks, I thought it would be rude to be on your phone, but there was no rudeness to be on your phone doing whatever you're doing.
There is still rudeness. Let's put it out there. No, I get what you're saying, but ultimately it's because we haven't set up the parameters as a society yet. We just haven't.
Bro, once again, I just love, like, the ship, the train has left the station.
It has not. It has not, bro. No, it has not. Every new technology that comes along has to, it takes time to figure out what's okay and what's not okay.
These are young professionals who are 30 years old and work at big companies like Uber.
Got it.
And they go to meetings and they're on the phone. You're not going to change their behavior.
You're absolutely right. I am going to change your behavior because I'm in a meeting and I find out because I've done a lot of research and it says that, hey, when you're on your phone, you're not actually involved in this meeting.
Correct.
Johnson, you're fired. That's going to change the thing. I know you think not, but it will. It will.
I love when you come.
Bro.
That's what I've enjoyed the most about the Smarticle podcast, where you're just irrational about how.
I am not irrational. You do not understand the psychology of human nature.
Hold on, for the record, just so that we get it all clear, you are also banning social media, for the record, and also starting a national volunteer service within our U.S. government.
That will, so by the way, that's a perfect one. No, that's a perfect one, because you are so clueless about the world that it amazes me that you ever made it out of Orange County. Truly, bro. Amazes me. There are countries around the world doing this. That's not craziness.
Yeah.
It's not craziness.
Bro, it's not happening in our country. You're not changing Gen Z's.
Yes, you are
on
incorrect.
Phones and meetings.
You are incorrect. Just like cigarettes, smokes, never going to go away. But I'm saying you honestly think that we are stuck. This is where we are. And
this
I'm saying,
it. Yes.
No. And I'm saying, as a former educator, it's not. It's incumbent upon us to deal with this. And you just want to stick your head in the sand and say, that's where it is. What's your answer? So, what's your solution to this, Larry?
There
no
is
one communicates
no solution.
There is none. We're all just robots.
Here's my point. I am raising my kids to try to get off their phones.
So there is a possible solution. Why are you Why are you wasting your energy doing something that can't be fixed?
Because I want my kids to leave my house without this.
You think there aren't other parents that don't want the same thing?
Hey, man, I'm with you. I saw a gaggle of teenagers the other day that was all hanging out, and they were all 10 of them on their phones hanging out with each other.
I do. I want to put this on the record for our audience that as you try to throw me under the bus yet again, I am not saying that this is an easy fix, and I am not saying that you can walk through and say, hey, get off your phone, get off your phone.
There is
not
a fix.
That's where we differ. There is a fix. There is. We have had many seismic systemic changes in our society that have been fixed. It's a matter of will. You don't have the will to fix it. You can't see the possibility of being fixed. I would argue that it's guys like Rob Henderson, who, by the way, is of that Gen Z era, who point this stuff out. It's not going to be you and me, the grumpy old men, that are going to fix this. It's going to be the Gen Zers that are going to fix this. I stand by that.
You are insane. If you think that Gen Z is going to have a come to Jesus with themselves and be like, we have got to put our phones down and be more interactive with each other, you are insane.
I almost disagree with you, why we have a podcast together.
Because you make these crazy, like, of course that's better. Of course, less social media is better.
Larry.
Of course we should have a national volunteer system.
The 1960s was all about a revolution. It was young people who said, we saw what our parents did and we didn't think it was good. Do you know what their parents complained about? These kids these days, they're smoking pot and they're wearing tie-dye. Rawr! Well, guess what? They also did a lot of really good things and changed the world. This is where we differ. I don't think that I disagree with you. I think you'd like to throw me under the bus. It's your little shtick. My point is, I think they're better than you do. That's what my point is. So Gen Zers, feel free to write Larry.Olson when you have complaints about people complaining about your generation, because I'm not complaining about your generation. I am simply saying that we should be examining ourselves. That's what I'm saying.
Brandon, I'd like to once again thank you for teaching me that, guess what? There will be a national volunteer system. The social media will be banned.
You're such a dick.
And in the midst of their phone revolution, Gen Z is going to turn around and say, we're the problem.
Thank you for finally realizing that, Larry.